Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Glad you're with us. Bob Kelly Dima. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios here in Hattiesburg. Whatever station you're tuned in on or whether it's online, welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Radio Network. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a proud supporter of USM Athletics and a great place to take your family any day of the week for a great meal, and certainly the place to call if you want to cater the upcoming games on the campus, tailgates. You want to call Dickey's. Dickey's can set you up and make sure that it is a really special occasion for you. Going to hear from Mitchell Williams a little later in the show. Everybody knows him, of course. Their area director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and team chaplain, Southern Miss football, host of the Monday Night Mitchell Williams Show here on Super Talk Mississippi. That conversation coming to you shortly, but first we're going to go to Kentucky. Justin Rowland is a writer for Rivals.com, CatsIllustrated.com. And Justin, welcome to the show. It's College Game Week in America.
Thank you guys for having me on. It just hits a little bit different this time of year, doesn't it?
Well, it does feel good. You can go on campus, you can hear the band practicing, you can get a little hint, maybe, a hint around here of fall.
A little heat.
It's a little hot still. And the football team is out there. So, yeah, all of us that cover Southern Miss, Justin, are tired of practice and ready for a game. I'm going to assume that is the same mindset up in Kentucky, ready to see a football game.
That's the vibe for the players and the coaches. I think they're ready to bang into somebody else other than the guys they've been going up against in camp every day. And, you know, there's been a lot of change both for Southern Miss and for Kentucky in the offseason. The portal era, that's always going to be the true, but we're even talking coaches and, you know, so many moving parts in the sport now, I feel like we know less of what to expect than ever. So that makes it more exciting than ever, too.
Well, one of the things you should expect, though, is good defenses from each of these teams, because it looks like they kind of shadow each other. Good, strong defensive lines and great expectations for the defensive units as a whole.
I think so. I think for both teams, probably, when you're envisioning what success would look like this year, what are people going to be happy with? I mean, the path for both teams starts on the defensive side of the ball. And for Kentucky, that's been an identity that they've forged under Mark Stoops, really turned the corner on defense in about 2018. So for going on six years now, this has been one of the more consistent defensive programs in the SEC. Not as much talent as Alabama or Georgia is going to have, but I think Will Hall pointed out that when he turns on the tape, he notices the one thing Kentucky doesn't sacrifice when they're recruiting or evaluating is length and size. And so it's another big and long defense. He's right about that.
Justin, this is Dima. Thanks for coming on the show.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, you know, I've had the chance this week to kind of read your work and some other guys' work who cover the beat. It feels like Kentucky seems like the Big Ten school of the SEC, where they pound the football, they pride themselves on pounding the football, the run, and the screen game. They run an offense eerily similar to Southern Miss's.
This is why Stoops has always been linked to the Iowa job, because he played at Iowa, his family history there, but Kentucky has been sort of the Iowa of the SEC in terms of they want to shorten the game, they want to play a style that is not going to be as fun as Ole Miss or Tennessee, for instance, but they kind of lull you into playing their kind of game where you're just exchanging body blows for 60 minutes and sitting on the ball and running the clock. And I guess the difference is over the past 3 years, Stoops has been trying to get more of an explosive approach, more of a pro-style offense. And so they've had mixed success with that, and in comes offensive coordinator Bush Hamden from Boise State, and he's working with Georgia transfer quarterback Brock Vandegrift. But you're right about that assessment. They have been kind of like a Big Ten school in the SEC.
And, you know, we're in such a new era of college football, 12-team playoffs, really two main super conferences, and then everybody knows the Big 12 and ACC are the kind of the second two, Big Ten and SEC. Mm-hmm. Do you think, kind of what you said in the beginning, there's so much unknown with both of these squads, but also squads across the United States. Some of these betting lines, such as Southern Miss 28-point underdogs, you know, even with the rule changes as far as the clock continuing to run, it's so hard to predict. It's always hard to predict week one, but you really don't know what you have in either team until they put it on the field.
No, you don't. So Southern Miss, I mean, it sounds like their two main issues last year were the offensive line never got going like they expected it to, and they were ravaged by injuries in the secondary. And both of those problems, they hope, are rectified in the offseason. You bring in an all-conference offensive guard from South Alabama and some more help up front. You guys get healthy in the secondary. You can't read too much into what you saw on tape from games in October last year because the teams are so different. And Stoops has talked about the number of impact transfers that Southern Miss could have, especially the offensive side of the ball. It makes it hard to know what they're preparing for. And you add in USM's throwing in some more wrinkles with more motion and misdirection and things like that. They've got their hands full for the first week.
And we talked to defensive coordinator Clay Bignell today of Southern Miss, and he said that the defensive preparation for Southern Miss is equally as challenging as I'm sure the Kentucky is, because quarterback Brock for the Wildcats only with, I think it is, 21 career passes, right? So it's so hard to guard against a guy you really just don't know what he's going to bring.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think you know they're going to want to run him more than they've run with a quarterback in quite some time, because that zone read option was kind of his wheelhouse at Georgia. That was what he was kind of going to be if he had to go into the game if Carson Beck went out last year. And you know, the big thing for him coming in was he wanted 2 years of experience at the college level to put together an NFL resume. But we don't know much about him. We don't know how he is as a passer. We don't know. The offensive line took a big step forward last season, but we don't know how good that's going to be. We've been talking about the receivers breaking out for years now. Is this finally going to be the year they do it? They are a little bit weaker in the backfield than they have been in quite some time. There's not that obvious workhorse or NFL back that they have back there. So I'm just as interested in what the finished product is going to look like as you. They might go a little bit faster this season than they've gone in the past, but this just underscores that both sides really don't know what to expect.
Justin, describe the patience of the fan base in Kentucky. I ask that question because it always seems, at least for the near future, it's going to be Georgia, Alabama, Texas now thrown into the mix. And, of course, no matter what league you play in, your fans always expect you to win it. You know, to win the league, to win it all. So what are the expectations from the fan base in Kentucky about, even though this program is healthy overall, what about the expectations going forward?
Stoops has great job security because he's really transformed the program from a bottom feeder in the SEC to a very respected program nationally. He's kind of done what has happened at Virginia Tech with Beamer, or Kansas State with Bill Snyder, or Wisconsin with Barry Alvarez. Maybe not the success at quite the highest level that those have, but in terms of the big picture trajectory. And so the difficult situation for Stoops now is they have consistently beaten most of the teams that they should beat for a lot of years now. And they've been in bowls for, 8 years in a row now? So anytime that happens, expectations are going to rise. Everybody's going to ask what's next. That's human nature. And unfortunately for him, like beating Georgia is just like a gargantuan task. But really, I think what people want to see is Kentucky more competitive with the best teams on the schedule. Anybody can get blown out by Georgia, but don't get blown out by Tennessee. Don't get blown out by every top 10, 15 team you face. And eventually you got to punch up and win one of those games for people to really think totally differently about you. So getting over that next hump is the hardest thing that he's done yet, but people always expect it.
All right, we're talking to Justin Rowland, who writes for Rivals.com, CatsIllustrated.com, about Kentucky football and the upcoming game this Saturday. Justin, if you can hang on through a short break, we're going to keep you for a couple of more questions. and got some SEC-type questions and some other questions about the university there. I want to remind everybody about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like, and thousands of you do every month. We appreciate that on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And also want to thank our good friends at Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg, for their sponsorship of our program. You can check them out on their Facebook page. But better still, I would just go down and enjoy some delicious beignets at Mobe Beignet Company on Hardy Street. More of the Super Talk Eagle Hour when we come right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. CampusBookmart.net, Miss Kathleen, tell her Kelly Sanders said hello, and that'll put a smile on her face. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady, and that's the place you go to get all your Southern Miss apparel.
Actually, when people say that, she always responds by saying, how well do you know him?
Well, that's understandable.
You know,
I know you really well,
yeah,
so I can understand exactly what she's talking about. We're talking to Justin Rowland, who writes for Rivals.com, CatsIllustrated.com. Don't need to tell anybody that listens to this radio show that the Golden Eagles play Kentucky this Saturday night, I believe, 6:45. Justin, I got a couple questions for you. What kind of football atmosphere will our fans that make the trek up there see? You know, normally if you're on the outside looking in, and I mentioned this to your play-by-play guy the other day, you, in all honesty, you tend to think of basketball when you think of the University of Kentucky. But what kind of football atmosphere do they get to experience Saturday night?
Well, that whole basketball-football rivalry at Kentucky goes back to Bear Bryant and Adolph Rupp, where the legendary story was they gifted Bear a cigarette lighter and Rupp a Cadillac, and Bear left for Texas A&M, and the rest is history. But Mark Stoops took umbrage to Cal saying it was a basketball school when they were fighting over resources, and they got into a feud for about a year. But you're right. I mean, it is historically now more of a basketball school. But at the same time, they hover and have for a long time right around the top 25 in football attendance. And it sold more than 40,000 season tickets for this year. Just announced the season tickets are sold out. So especially being the first game of the year, new era, I would imagine it's going to be a really good crowd with a lot of people who have been probably drinking in the parking lot for a long time.
And here's another question. Southern Miss, I think it's fair to say, I got to be careful how I say this, but I think it's fair to say has become a baseball school in the last 10 years. We've had a lot of national baseball success, and in all honesty, it's been a struggle with football over the last 10 years. But Kentucky had a heck of a baseball season, and I'm a big baseball fan, so I watched some of your games and in the playoffs and the series, and a heck of a contingent of Kentucky fans made it to Omaha.
They were real excited. They had seen Louisville have a lot of success in college baseball, and I think Kentucky having that the year before they made it to the tournament, and then this past year they made it to Omaha, and it was everybody really got into it, and I'm sure that's going to transfer over and be a lot of excitement for this coming season as well. But Mangione was on the hot seat, and the athletics director was taking some heat for keeping him after perceived underperformance, and that just goes to show, fast forward 1 year, now everybody's talking about him as a hot up-and-coming commodity. So what do any of us really know?
Does basketball, though, remain the king?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and you saw that when Mark Pope was introduced, 23,000 people at a press conference announced. And that was excitement for John Calipari's successor. That was excitement to move beyond John Calipari. So, yeah, Kentucky fans are still crazy for basketball.
The fact that the baseball team has stepped it up, you know, heaven forbid that Louisville be better than Kentucky in anything, right?
No, they're not going to have that.
Yeah, The rivalry ebbs and flows, but basketball, football, Kentucky's had it good for a while. But I will say Jeff Brohm's doing a really good job with the football program there, and that's not one that they can just count as a win anymore.
You know, I went to the game in 2016 up in Kentucky, and I just remember how nice that fan base was. And, you know, going in, I just thought the atmosphere was, like, just so much more than I anticipated as far as the tailgating, the excitement for that game. And I just remember, like, going in, you know, with the as a Southern Miss fan and going in and being kind of on the other side. I'm sure it's still the same, but I just remember the fan base being so courteous and kind to me and my family.
Like the LSU fan base.
Fan base.
Go ahead. The Kentucky fans have practiced humility out of necessity over the years. They've been humbled and, yeah, not quite the arrogance you see some other places. If you ever make it down later in the year when they've got the doubleheader with Keeneland, go to the racetracks and then go to the football game, that's the highlight of the year. But, but yeah, no, they it's a good crowd, and I think you'll have a good time if you go.
Yeah, we've had recent exposure in the last 2 years, Justin, in baseball to the LSU and Tennessee fan base, and it would take some time to figure out who was the worst.
Well, Kentucky fans would vote Tennessee, but I'm sure you got some experience with LSU.
I would think I would, if I were going to vote, I would have to go Tennessee. The LSU fans that were here, you know, I mean, they were loud and rowdy, but they were, you know, they just loved the LSU Tigers. The Tennessee fans kind of had this better than you attitude about coming down here. And so I guess I'm going to join your fan base, Justin. I have to vote for Tennessee. What about you?
It's not my place to knock Tennessee, but one dynamic there is they kind of like Nebraska, except not being known for being as nice as Nebraska fans. They had it for a long time, and when you feel like you haven't done it for 25 years, it kind of makes you bitter, and I think that's where a lot of that comes from. But the other thing is Tennessee fans have kind of embraced kind of being the dark side on social media and on the internet, where it's like kind of part of the caricature is just being crazy.
Yeah. And they seem to embrace it. The Twitter war between Southern Miss and Tennessee was the most insane thing I've ever seen.
And let me say, their fan base was a lot different than their baseball players and their coach.
Right.
Yeah. I gained a lot of respect for
them. They were first rate.
We're back on baseball on game week of football.
I can't help it.
Very likable. Yeah. It is a baseball school, he says.
Yeah, true.
So, Justin, when you break apart your schedule, what is, generally speaking, all these prognostications that come out prior to the season, where's everybody pegging the Wildcats as far as over-under on wins?
The most common pick that you'll see when you people rank the SEC 1 through 16 with Texas and Oklahoma now is you got Kentucky right around between 9 and 11. Oof. So it's a middle-of-the-pack program. It's clearly, in my mind, it's clearly better than the worst teams in the league, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Arkansas. It should be better than Florida, should be better than South Carolina, but, I mean, are they good enough to beat those playoff contenders? And I'm not just talking about Alabama and Georgia. I'm talking Tennessee, Ole Miss. They get Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Texas. And I think three of those are on the road. I think most people are saying 7-5. They've consistently been a 7-win program with two exceptions, two 10-win Citrus Bowl seasons. But 7 against this schedule seems like it would be a pretty good
job. You just put Mississippi State down in the bottom, Justin? Is that what we heard?
Yes. I called Mississippi State one of the worst teams in the SEC.
Ding, ding, ding.
One of the two worst. That's correct.
Keep ringing it.
Yeah, we have a winner.
I know my audience, don't I?
Yes.
Next year should say that Ole Miss will not make the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, we're looking forward to it Saturday. We think it's going to be a fun night and a great atmosphere. Dima here says your fan base are filled with kind people. So after Saturday, my friend, we wish you the best of luck.
And are we anticipating rain Saturday in Lexington?
Last I saw, it was like 60% chance of rain, scattered thunderstorms. So it just depends on when it hits. But that's something to watch for sure. And, I mean, if I'm guessing, Southern Miss probably wouldn't mind if the weather's bad, because the strength of Kentucky's offense should be those receivers. So anything you can do to make them run when you got questions about the line and the running backs would probably be a good thing.
All right, Justin, we appreciate your time, and we could not agree with you more about Mississippi State. We thank you. We thank you for throwing that in here in the conversation.
You are welcome on this show anytime.
Yes, you have a standing invitation now, Justin.
I'll have to make some amends when it's Mississippi State week some year. All right. Yeah, all right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks
Justin.
A lot.
Justin Rowland, everybody, from Rivals.com. Great young man. That was fun. You set that up, Dima?
Yeah.
Good job there, man. Good job.
Yeah, I love it when Dima talks about going back in 2016. I'm going, did they have diaper changing stations?
How old were you in 2000? How old were you in 2016?
I was 14 during that game.
Was that right?
Yeah. So, even if you're a Tennessee jerk, what type of person's going to give crap to a 14-year-old kid?
Oh, believe me, I've been into some games where they did give me crap. When I went to the Southern Miss Houston game, 2011, for the Conference USA Championship game, I was 9 at that game. And they were so rude to me and my family. They were like, "Ah, it's terrible." I will say Michigan fans might be the worst.
Well, you experienced that sort of at Tennessee this year, didn't you, in baseball?
Yes, but that's just because I think the Tennessee fan base hates me on Twitter. So.
Yeah, I got to say this. I had some grudging respect for the LSU fans. I mean, they're so passionate about their team.
I don't know if I go that far.
It's limited.
I wouldn't stand on that bridge.
It was real limited, to be honest with you, but... But their enthusiasm,
and that fan base from LSU helps the local economy, buddy.
They get into life now.
You want to go make a killing? Go open up a brewery shop.
I meant no offense to our football program, calling this a baseball school. I just mean that in the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of baseball success, and we haven't seen as much football. But look, I'll be the first guy to be the most excited when that comes back this year. So.
And when you talk to Southern Miss fans, everybody's anxious. You know, for the season to begin, I think, and I kid you not, I think every single person has said they love Will Hall.
Absolutely,
they love they are pulling for him to succeed. They want this team to win. They want him to be successful at Southern Miss. But they also will begrudgingly say they know it's time to win.
And I really feel like Southern Miss really feels like they can go and win this game. I think they really feel confident that they actually can go win.
And speaking of Coach Hall, he did contact me after our show the other day when we were discussing the greatest cowboy movies, Lonesome Dove, according to Coach Hall.
The series, yeah.
Never seen it.
Yep.
Rebecca's a big fan. His wife likes that series.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, we want to thank Justin Rowland from Rivals.com. Thank Dima for setting that up. I thought that was a great interview. Good conversation with a young man who writes.
Yeah, where did he say Mississippi State was going to finish? I can't remember.
Yeah, deep down below. Deep down below.
I think he said bottom third of the SEC.
Oh. There we go.
Boy, it's like Bob in a candy store.
There'll be probably one person ringing a cowbell by the 12th
week. Let me see what a train wreck is. Hang on.
Speaking of Mississippi State. There you go.
Wait a minute.
That'll be their football season right there.
There we go. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the Mississippi State football season.
Hey, Bob, I have a question that you might be able to help me with, though. I've got some shirts that need to be like dry cleaned and pressed, and they've got some. And I'm not very good at doing things in the washer and then trying to iron them. What would you do?
I'd go to Walmart and buy an ironing board and an iron.
No, you would not. I know you. This is what we call a segue in the business, and I threw in a softball for him to hit over the fence.
That is a real softball.
You would go to the all new Genesis showroom on High 90 West in Hattiesburg. And you would look at the Genesis sedans and SUVs because, Kelly, they are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today.
Yeah, well,
and Bob Getty drives one.
And I would put my dirty shirts in that car and drive them where?
To your laundry room.
No. Boy, oh boy. When you got to spell it out like this, this is really sad.
How about the Town and Country Cleaners?
That's what I was looking for.
Hardy Street, that's Hattiesburg's oldest dry cleaner.
That's why I would take them there.
And you go there because of the bulky bedding. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I do. Because it's you know, that's one of the few places that actually will handle your bulky bedding.
Are you through now?
I tried to help you out, you know. And boy, you talk about a train wreck of a segue.
All right. I've known him too long to give an objective opinion. Dima, real quickly, the role that Mitchell Williams, area director of the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, plays on the Southern Miss football team is pretty significant, isn't it?
It really is unbelievable, and especially when you talk about the way he connected with those players after the death of MJ Daniels. And man, just every day he'll do his laps around practice and come and say hi to me and just be so courteous. And I always love, you always can listen in the background, you always hear, "Get it right, best day of your life," you know, in practice. He's always doing that, and it's something that I have heard from the first day I went to a Southern Miss football practice.
And the team is dedicating the season to MJ.
Yes, they will be holding up, well, we can say that for news and notes.
Yep. Okay. And I'm happy to say, Mitchell, I've been friends for 25, 30 years. Sat down with him just the other day at practice, and here's that conversation. All right, Mitchell Williams on the Super Talk Eagle Hour, regional director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, host of the Monday night Mitchell Williams Show on Super Talk Mississippi, and team chaplain of the football team. And Mitch, the football team has been through a lot this year
with
the tragedy earlier this year. How do you think that's affected these kids?
Ooh, Scoop, early on it was something that was kind of crazy, because you go from seeing MJ practice that morning, go to a team meeting. I'm walking up the stairs, and I hear him come through the door, and I said, "MJ, that's you?" Because he was gregarious, always touchable. And he said, "Yay, Brother Mitch." I said, "Well, I don't want to slow you down, because I don't move as fast as these guys anymore." And he says, "Brother Mitch, I'm trying to keep up with you." And then 15 hours later, we're in a parking lot. Yeah. And we had a number of our players that were called that were looking for him that were there that night. So from that time on to now, this team has found a way how to heal each other. We didn't coach. It was awesome in the process of that. We didn't stop practicing. We didn't stop working out. He kept them moving, kept them going. And then it built the synergy up. And we've got something within our football team that we're not raising our hands up saying, "Hey, we needed something to happen to us." I'm saying inwardly that this team together is a little bit different than teams that we've seen in recent past.
I sense that when I'm around them, and I think that goes back to the culture that Will Hall and his staff have built here, Mitchell.
Scoop, there's no doubt about it. If this was not in place when that happened with MJ, it's different. You know, when honesty and accountability and the golden rule and projecting positive energy and always compete and finding a way is not on the wall, if that's not on the wall, it's different. So you already had these seeds in the ground, and when life happened, what Coach talked about the morning after it happened, he said when life happens, is that these principles, some of these things, how you honestly deal with it, how accountable you are to your brothers, what would you do for somebody that you hope that they would do for you? That we're going to still get out here and compete both on the field and off the field. Be positive, knowing that every time you wake up, you got a good day. Anytime you wake up. And then that last part, find a way to get through it. And we've been in it now going on, I guess, 7 weeks, and we can't wait to play a game.
Yeah. You know, Mitchell, I get the good fortunate privilege of getting around a lot of these kids in every sport. And I am amazed at how humble, respectful, articulate these kids are. And it doesn't matter what sport. I mean, you think that's different at different levels? You think in the Power Five, kids are different with that humble attitude than kids on our programs?
I think so. I think if you look at it here in Southern Mississippi, we have this tradition of winning, right? I mean, so when you come here and you have a guy like Will Hall, who is a Mississippi guy, is that one of the things when he recruits, he says they got great mamas and daddies. They got great moms
and dads.
Exactly. So what he does, he looks for circles, that village that can raise a child when they're not playing football. when, you know, they're not out here doing what's the village around them? And so now you're seeing, even in the culture that's here, and then when you recruit to that, oh, you got something. Yeah. And then if this thing happens from the inside out, meaning the growth and this aroma that we got on this team of just, it's so awesomely good. If that produces something on the scoreboard, it'll be a season to remember.
All right, final question for you. What does it mean to you to be the chaplain of this football program? And I see you every time I'm out here. I see you with your arm around some individual kid, talking to him, private conversations. I've known you a long time, so I know how you love people. What does it mean to you to be the chaplain for these kids out here?
Ooh, I don't know if I can put it into words other than in this season of life coming out here that with 114 boys and 31 coaches. It's like having, this is like my church. It's like you're going out, this is what. And then love wins. You don't come out there with scripture and verse and text. You just love wins. So what it means to me is that it's an opportunity to love people. And if you can love people every day, then it kind of gives life back to you, you know? And even when going through the difficulties of going through MJ and speaking at MJ's funeral and seeing all of this, but also, too, getting that call at 10 o'clock at night saying, Brother Mitch, where you're at? It's life. And you get an opportunity to do life with these awesome young men who will change the world in a corner somewhere.
Right. Mr. Williams, I'm glad, man, you've been friends for so many years.
I'm glad to be friends with you, Scoop. Look, don't get tired. Your shoulders, I know, don't get tired. We got a lot of stuff to do together.
All right, brother. Good seeing you.
Thank you.
All right, Mitchell Williams, extraordinary guy. You've known him, I guess, about as long as I have, Kelly, and he's done a lot of good in his life to young people.
Coaches will say all the time, you know, and I know Steve Knight at William Carey has said this for a long time, you know, at the level that they're coaching at, you don't go into coaching to be multimillionaires. You do it to impact lives. And when these guys get to be husbands, fathers, you know, those sorts of things later on, they'll always remember the coach that coached them up, or the guy that, you know, loved on them. They might not remember the biology teacher, unfortunately, or the math teacher, but they're always going to remember their coach. And unless you've actually been in a sports environment, it's difficult to describe, but it is always that way. And the fact that Mitch and those guys are impacting these kids' lives in such a positive way, man, if that's not a straight shot to heaven, I don't want to be God, but I'm just saying, if that's not a straight shot to heaven, I got no chance.
Well, I'll tell you something I learned years ago doing high school play-by-play up in the Mississippi Delta. And, you know, we go to places like Drew and Hollandale and these different places. And I learned quickly that the men coaching those kids in the high schools up there, man, coach was not the most important thing they were doing. They were the father figure to most of those kids. They were the discipline in the lives of those kids. You can't place a value on what those high school coaches around Mississippi, the impact they have on kids' lives, Kelly.
And when coaches retire, lots of times, too, they'll go, you know, my neighbor, the guy is half my age. He's working offshore. He's making, you know, seven-digit income. I never made a seven-digit income as a coach. I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm 60-something years old. And I'm saying, yeah, remember, you didn't do it for the money. Look at how many people's lives you've impacted. And then they get back on track. Yeah. They'll go, yeah, you're right about
that. And here's another way you know that. And you've done this along with me. I've interviewed a lot of NFL players, a lot of professional athletes, and you ask them, what coach had the biggest impact on your life? And 9 out of 10 times, it's the high school coach.
Or even younger, you know, somebody that got them started in the game. You know,
it's amazing how far they go back with people that affected their lives.
And in society today, where so many families, that this has nothing to do with color, religion, anything, so many families are just broken. You know, lots of times the only male role model that a lot of these kids have is the coach.
How's former Golden Eagle Quez Watkins doing in the NFL? Dima will tell you that on the other side of the break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank our good buds at 4th Street Bar and Grill. We look forward to being down there this Friday to kick off football season. A week from Friday, we'll be at Fuzzy's Tacos. Heck, I'm looking forward to the next two Fridays. I know you are, Santa.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah. Two of the best places, centrally located, right there by the campus. Eagle fever, man. Both places.
No question. So we're looking forward to that. Mike Frazier returns to the show tomorrow. Mike Frazier owns JUCOWeekly.org, and I've never talked to anybody more knowledgeable about junior college football than Mike Frazier.
Does he know it?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And we look forward to having him on the show every Thursday. Will East will be joining us on Fridays. He's the guy that studies high school football backwards and forwards. So we're going to start touching on JUCO football on Thursdays, have a high school preview every Friday, and we're looking forward to that.
We got the new cheerleading coach on Friday. We got some of the cheerleading captains on the show Friday, live from 4th Street.
We have the sports director of the Times-Picayune on the show Friday.
Oh, we have to talk like that now around Patrick McGee?
Mr. Patrick McGee.
Oh, Mr. Patrick McGee. That's like Dr. Luke Johnson.
Correct. I'm not going to do either with either one of them.
That's right.
I'm going to call Dima.
Good.
What's news and notes, Dima?
We got a lot of – now I think we're starting to get to every day there's something. And so a lot of NFL news. First off, Swayze Bozeman, as we mentioned yesterday, made the practice squad with the Chiefs.
Yes.
So that's a big deal for him and just great player all around and great guy.
I was just going to say that, man. You really like – that's a great all-American story, that a good guy
– overcome injuries.
Yes.
Yeah. And there will be a former Southern Miss player joining him in Eric Thomas, coming from the Cowboys.
Eric Scott.
Eric Scott.
Eric Scott.
I thought of Thomas for some reason. But yeah, Eric Scott. Eric Scott, I think he's on the roster. I don't think he's on the practice squad.
How about that?
So, you know, he was obviously on the roster for Dallas, so it makes sense.
You know, he was on this show last year, Dima, and after the Cowboys drafted him, and Jerry Jones actually called him, and
yes,
we asked him.
I remember listening to that show.
What did you do when Jerry Jones called? I started crying.
I think I'd have soiled myself. But
Quez Watkins, unfortunately.
Yes,
Quez
Watkins was cut from the Steelers. There is talk he might be picked up again by the Eagles. You know, he was on the Eagles in when they went on that Super Bowl run, actually, a couple of years ago. And if you remember, I think he either dropped a pass in that game or caught it. I just remember him being involved in a big play in that game. So he was cut from the Steelers. There's talk about whether or not he'll be picked up by the Eagles or the Browns, I saw as well. And then Southern Miss Football is dedicating the 2024 season to MJ Daniels. And we learned from Will Hall today that every time Southern Miss forces a turnover, they will hold up number 11's jersey.
Well, good. Well, good. I'm glad.
And have we heard as to where Frank Gore Jr. is going to wind up? Because he did get cut by the Bills. And I would think that there's a lot of interest from other teams out there that are looking for maybe a third down back or a special teams.
There hasn't been anything yet, but there was a lot of outlash on Twitter, not even just from Southern Miss fans, about how confusing that wave was. And I thought it was confusing as well for Quez Watkins to get waves. I mean, Steelers wide receiver room is pretty stout. Like, not stout, the vice versa of stout. Like, very the depth issues there, you know, so.
And some words have been coming out of Buffalo that Gore could be placed on the Bills practice squad. As well, of course, because he was cut, they have to clear waivers today.
Right. Yes.
All right, but if he doesn't clear waivers, then
that means other teams have the option of picking him up.
Correct.
Right? Hey, Saints.
Yeah. So the next couple of days will be, but you would think, particularly with the preseason that he had, that there's going to be some takers out there somewhere.
And Ole Miss is hosting Furman on Saturday night, I believe, and we have it from a good source that the Furman helmets will have FU on their helmets for Furman University.
I don't know if it's just for the Ole Miss game or if it's
I think it was at the request of the Southern Miss Athletic Program.
Oh, well.
That can't be true, can it? That can't be true.
No, it is true.
I don't believe it.
You know.
There's no way. Okay.
Well, we are. Some of us have fake news on here,
well,
too.
Get on your little machine.
And, of course,
there.
We're referencing fun for you. That's what the F fun for you.
Yeah. You know when you go to Ole Miss, you don't need the other side
of
FU.
Look up their helmets. See if you can see that.
On your little machine there.
I find that hard, boy.
You kids know how to operate those things pretty quick.
I think that internet thing may stick around, Kelly.
Look, it has just an F on it.
Well.
Okay. Not like that's any better.
The Purple Paladins.
Good.
And is that who they are?
The Purple Paladins.
Yeah, y'all are clowning Ohio State for playing Akron. At least they're not playing Furman.
Goodness. Furman and Akron. What challenging
I think
games for two
Ole Miss
top
is 42-point favorites to Furman, and Ohio State is 50.5 to Akron.
So you don't even think Akron will get across the 50-yard line?
Probably not. I don't know if I would have picked Southern Miss to get across the 50-yard line.
See, Akron and Furman should be playing, and Ole Miss and Ohio State should be playing.
Well, they will
play in the playoffs.
They will.
That would be a really fun game.
At some point in the regular season, too, right?
Yeah. If you're on the Ole Miss train, which I'm not. So.
But, you know, the first week of the season, there's some great Sun Belt games, which Dima's going to have our picks of the week on Friday.
We're going to be calling them Super Picks, and it's going to be a competition throughout the entire season. I thought of this. Here's your live reaction on air. Yeah. The whoever wins it, the other two has to split a meal of their choice.
Well, I like that. You know, last year's winner never got that. Who won the last year?
You did, Bob.
I did.
Never got your meal from Kelly, did you?
No, I sure didn't. In fact, I went twice, invited me, and I ended up having to pay the tab. He forgot his wallet both days.
Now, I had to go to the bathroom, and then something happened where I had to sneak out the back door. Yes. I don't remember what it was.
I'm sure you don't. But that was the second time. Okay. We'll be back tomorrow for the umpteenth time at 1 o'clock, and we hope you'll join us. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.